Welcome to Hike Your Own Hike, 7 Life Lessons from Backpacking Across America by Francis Tappan, read to you by the author. For more information, go to hikeyourownhike.com. This book is dedicated to Cartwheel.
Introduction. I woke up wondering how a mosquito could have possibly bitten my rear end. I was covered in bites. So I suppose it's not incomprehensible that one ingenious insect found its way deep into my pants. The night before, Lisa Garrett, my hiking partner, had agreed that we should camp at the summit of the mountain where the winds were strong enough to drive away the mosquitoes. We carried an 18-ounce tarp instead of a 48-ounce tent, because we didn't expect that many bugs, and we were eager to save as much weight as possible. We plopped down without setting up the tarp to admire the sky and to enjoy the brisk winds that kept those infernal insects at bay. We had been hiking almost nonstop since 4:30 in the morning, and so when Lisa lay down at 9 p.m., she was asleep in seconds. I managed to stay awake for 2 minutes, long enough to see a flash of lightning in the dark sky. I didn't say anything to Lisa. I took a deep breath and prayed it was just my imagination. Thunder rumbled in the distance. I gulped. A minute later, I felt a drop of rain explode on my forehead. "It's coming," I mumbled to Lisa, who was as alert as a corpse. I shook Lisa hard. "Lisa, a storm is coming. Come on, you gotta get up. We have to set up the tarp. Now!" She woke up in disbelief. When we had been hiking up the mountain, there were few clouds around, but nothing ominous. She couldn't believe that the weather had changed so quickly. As I stumbled out of my sleeping bag, I dryly said, "Welcome to Maine." We pitched the tarp extremely low because with the fierce winds at the summit, the rain would surely come at nearly a horizontal angle. The tarp flapped violently in the blustery weather, but we managed to set it up. We had to crawl to squeeze under it. The tarp was so low that it halted nearly all the wind. Incredibly, within minutes, the mosquitoes descended upon us. Our wind-free environment had become an oasis for these godforsaken creatures. I always slept barefoot with my feet slightly elevated to help decreased the swelling from walking all day. The next morning, my exposed feet were swollen for a different reason. They were covered with bites. I couldn't resist scratching them until they bled. The truly pathetic part was that the storm never hit us. During the night, it passed just a few miles north of our campsite and we didn't even get a sprinkle. That token drop that hit my forehead was just a teaser. In other words, we could have slept without the tarp and without the mosquitoes. While I miserably scratched my butt that morning, I wondered, okay, now how is this experience going to possibly help me find the way to get more out of life? I shook my head questioning what I was thinking when I thought backpacking 2,168 miles would bring me some wisdom. Ellen Glasgow said, "The only difference between a rut and a grave is their dimensions." 9 months before, I was stuck in a rut. I wasn't wild about my job, but I wasn't sure what to do next. The uncertainty of the future made me addicted to my daily routines. At least they were relatively comfortable. I clung tightly to the known instead of letting go and venturing into the unknown. Part of my unwillingness to make any drastic changes was that my life really wasn't that bad. Many people struggled much more than I did. Yet deep down inside, I realized that I wasn't getting the most out of life, and that was bugging me. In short, I was settling for a pretty good life, but not an amazing one. Lisa was also living on autopilot mode. She left behind her hometown in California's agricultural valley to pursue her dreams in Silicon Valley. However, after 6 years, she was bored with managing commercial properties for the tech companies. Although her intelligence and strong work ethic helped her establish a successful career, she wanted to do something new, but she didn't know what. She also realized that her life was comfortable, but not magical. It was during this period that we began backpacking. After car camping in the majestic forests of Big Sur, California, we agreed that it would be far more interesting to camp away from all the people. That meant backpacking, which neither of us had done. Our first backpacking trip was a four-day adventure deep into Yosemite National Park, far from the crowds. We were hooked. We started backpacking almost every weekend. Eventually, I started investigating some of the longer backpacking trips we could take. It wasn't long before I discovered something called the Appalachian Trail. The Appalachian Trail, or the AT, is 2,168 miles long and crosses 14 states on the East Coast between Maine and Georgia. It typically takes 6 months to traverse the entire trail, or thru-hike it. Few succeed. For example, when we walked it, only 17% of our fellow thru-hikers finished it. To put that into perspective, those who try to summit Mount Everest have twice the success rate as thru-hikers. Embarking on a thru-hike usually entails quitting your job, moving out of your home, selling many of your belongings, and convincing your friends and family that you haven't gone completely nuts. Lisa was initially skeptical about thru-hiking the AT. However, she concluded it might help her determine what she should do with her life. After encouraging Lisa to join me, we sold most of our belongings, and I convinced 10 companies to sponsor our expedition. I romantically thought that thru-hiking the AT would help me gain profound wisdom. I yearned to uncover the fundamental principles of getting the most out of life. I theorized that spending several months walking thousands of miles in the wilderness would help me discover these principles. But while I was inspecting and scratching the dozens of mosquito bites all over my body, I started doubting this theory. However, I would eventually get over the bites and many other challenges. Perhaps because of those trials, I ultimately learned what I had set out to discover, although not in the way I expected. Indeed, through hiking the AT was a life-changing adventure that taught me many values, especially the value of a bed, a shower, a toilet, and mosquito netting. Wisdom in the wilderness. My idea of venturing into the wilderness to find wisdom is not original. Henry David Thoreau and John Muir both understood how communing with nature could reveal answers to the most profound questions of life. Religious figures such as Jesus, Moses, Muhammad, and the Buddha spent some of their most profound moments in the wilderness. Many who hike the AT hope that walking over 2,000 miles will reveal the answers to life's big questions. Indeed, thru-hiking is not just a long hike, it is a pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is defined by Webster as an extended journey with a purpose. Although your yogi may disagree, walking and sleeping in the wilderness is a form of meditation. Imagine waking up every day before sunrise and walking up and down forested mountains until just past sunset, breaking only for meals and short rests. We walked 20 to 30 miles a day. Imagine doing that for almost 4 months. Many would conclude, that's gotta suck. However, I quickly found myself in a groove and at peace. That state of mind allowed me to absorb lessons I might have otherwise overlooked. When I returned to civilization, I sought to summarize those insights. I distilled them into 7 principles that not only apply to backpacking, but to life itself. The French philosopher and writer Jean-Jacques Rousseau once said, "I can only meditate when I am walking. When I stop, I cease to think. My mind only works with my legs." Overview of the 7 principles. Each chapter will discuss a principle in detail. But first, let's see how they all interrelate. The first principle, hike your own hike, is the most important one. It's simply impossible to get the most out of life if you ignore this principle. Therefore, it forms the core. Principles 2 through 6 explain how to achieve the first principle. They delve into the nuts and bolts of how to enjoy life. Finally, the 7th principle, the hike is too important to take seriously, puts everything into context. It gives us the perspective that no other principle gives us. Indeed, those who truly follow it are usually masters at squeezing the most out of life. The accompanying diagram in your CD depicts how the seven principles interrelate. For example, it shows how the first principle forms the core and is the foundation for all the principles. The seventh principle wraps around all the other principles, for it is one that should be sprinkled generously throughout life. Just because principles 2 through 6 are not in the core or the outer edge doesn't mean that they are not essential. Each principle is vital and should be followed if you want to optimize your life. On the other hand, this is not an all-or-nothing solution. If you ignore one principle, you will still get more out of life than someone who ignores 5 of them. If you're not prepared to make a radical change today, you can take one principle at a time. It is better to follow one principle than to ignore them all. The point is that each principle you follow gets you closer to having a truly fulfilling life. Some may argue that these timeless principles are obvious. However, what's obvious is that most of us are not following them and are not maximizing their life. Therefore, when our lives get off track, it's healthy to remind ourselves what the principles are so that we can realign our priorities. Furthermore, during my pilgrimage, I didn't just focus on discovering the principles, but I also focused on finding concrete, practical, and sometimes unusual ways to abide by them. Believe me, backpacking across America gave me plenty of time to think of such things. Lastly, I'm not the Moses of thru-hikers. I'm not saying that God gave me these principles, or even that all thru-hikers agree with them. I simply arrived at them after many months of deep contemplation. For instance, someone else might follow my footsteps and be inspired to write a book called The 7 Principles of Proper Trail Hygiene. And alas, that book would probably easily outsell mine. Katahdin, the adventure begins. In Maine's Baxter State Park lies the mountain called Katahdin, the northern terminus of the Appalachian Trail. For Native Americans, Katahdin means the greatest mountain. Indeed, it is the tallest mountain in Maine and the longest vertical climb on the AT. Nearly all aspiring thru-hikers start in Georgia and make Katahdin the climax of their journey. Only 10% of the thru-hikers were doing what we were doing, starting at Katahdin and heading south. I started in Maine partly because I'm a nonconformist and partly because I'm just a foolish masochist. André Gide said, "It is only an adventure that some people succeed in knowing themselves, in finding themselves." Katahdin represented a key inflection point in my life. Inflection points are moments when one trend stops and a new trend begins. An inflection point represents a radical change from the way things have been going. Ask yourself, do you feel like your life is stagnant? Do you feel like you're going nowhere? Are you content with life, but not thrilled? Do you really believe that you're getting the most out of life? Whether you feel like your life is just fine, or whether it is rapidly spiraling downward, you need a positive inflection point in your life. That's what I hope this book becomes for you. It's that kick in the pants that sometimes we all need to get off a moribund trend and onto a new trend line, one that soars to the sky like Mount Katahdin.